I see very earlier due to unforeseen circumstances, we were unable to start on time. I also welcome Advocate Master for his presence on the platform, as well as the Senior Procedural Officer, Mr. Jan Vermeulen, and our Procedural Officer, Mr. Jan Putsia. So we have received a number of apologies, albeit, extracted from members. They are from Honourable Smith, Honourable Kanya Boita, Makamba Boita, and Honourable Moran, who is an alternate. Colleagues, purpose of this meeting. We have also received an apology from the NCOP Permanent Delegate, Honourable Isaac Suleku. Our colleagues, the purpose of this meeting is to consider our final mandate in relation to the Municipal Structures Amendment Bill. And as you will recall, we have extensively in the past dealt with the bills and the amendments. We've gone through the necessary public participation processes and all of those things, and we have initially submitted our comments to the bill. Those were presented with the comments of the other provinces, the minutes of the NCOP meeting where the various positions and comments were dealt with by the NCOP was submitted to members, as well as the various proposals submitted by the various provinces. And I trust that we have gone through it, and we didn't notice that some of the proposals that we have forwarded were agreed to, some were not agreed to, and there were reasons given for that. At the end of the day, a C list was composed of those provincial proposals that were agreed to, and those that will be incorporated to the bill. So I don't know, and I want your guidance if you want us to go through those proposals that were accepted from our province, and after which we will have to make a determination whether we're still going to support the bill or not. And that's basically the long and short of it. And then lastly, we have a set of minutes on the 13th of October that we need to consider. So, colleagues, I want you to give me an indication whether you think it is necessary that we need to go through, Johan, accept those proposals or not. Johan,
Yes,
can you
Chair.
put the screen up, please? And just get an indication of those areas where we were successful in influencing the bill.
Chairperson, yeah, unfortunately, I can't indicate now which ones were successful. Otherwise, I'll have to open up another document somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe the other document is a better indication of the ones that.
I'll open that one quickly for you, Chair.
Yeah, please do so. Thank you, Jan.
No, that's the same one. So, person, just bear with me quickly. I just need to find him.
Document, John.
There we go, Chair. I've got him.
That's okay. Let's start on the
Oh, come on. Chair, he doesn't want to open up now when I share. Let me just. Yeah, it's now one of definitely. It's Friday the 13th today, sir.
as quickly as possible, prevent any further calamities. Colleagues, if you can't open a document, then I'll simply just start on page 8, Jan.
Yeah.
That can read perhaps through it is that we submitted that certain changes in terms of people have written the people, initial people, the long title. Was not supported. I think what I'm just going to go through with the ones that supported. Not all the consequential amendments have been affected. We alerted themselves, that certain changes will have consequential impact on the bill, and those consequential effects have not been considered, and they agreed to that, and it will subsequently be corrected. Then a further clause 1A, we suggested that the memorandum on the objective and then other ones that they have not supported relates to the office of the Chief Whip. And we stated that the definition of whip necessitated a consequential amendment to the definition of political office bearer. They did not support that. They state in that Schedule 3 has been amended to include WIP as part of the office bearers in the council. When the Systems Act is amended, the definition of political office bearer will be amended to include the WIP. So what says that when the necessary amendments in the Systems Act is going to be affected, that could be accommodated in there. And then we had a submission with regard to the definitions of meetings that need to be further clarified. And it's not supported. They say that those definitions could be further clarified by the council's rules of order. It need not to be incorporated in the bill. And then a further submission we had with regard to the deletion of the plenary system of governance. That in itself was not supported. The proposed amendment is not supported. It is proposed that the disciplinary system of governance be retained, and then a further proposal we submitted that's not supported is that the requirement that the concurrence of the minister to effect a deviation may lead to unnecessary disputes in the event that agreement is not reached between the minister and the MEC. It will further result in a delay in the finalization in terms of the number of councillors and subsequent inefficiencies that may flow from that. Our proposal is that clause 7D is reconsidered and deleted. If it is retained, then it is proposed that express provision is made in the amendment bill on how the consequences of an agreement not being reached. So basically, what we then perhaps anticipated that might just happen is that there may just be sort of disagreement between the minister and the MEC, and that there's not adequate sort of in the bill as to how those disagreements are will be unlocked. The requirement also is to verify the formula. It's not supported by the drafters of the NCOP. Clause 9B and 10C is also not supported, and that is just then number 12. Currently, it's required that the majority of councillors referred to in section 29(1) of the Principal Act means the majority of the members allocated to a municipality in terms of the establishment notice. But does it mean the majority of councillors in office at the time of the meeting? We propose that the councillors in office at the time of the meeting and city. Section 32, as per the establishment notice of the Principal Act, is amended to provide clarity. That proposal is not supported. It enables that the majority referred to in Section 29(1) and Section 30 refers to the majority of councillors determined by the MEC that is at the time of establishment. So they can support our. Then, furthermore, there's a Clause 13, it's very long. It supports the proposal in a sense that it deals with the whole concept and, of good cause. And it shows that, when disciplinary action is taken against a councillor and necessary mechanisms are being developed, that we need to show good cause for the institution of that kind of endeavor. They supported that. It's a very long explanation. The proposed clause 1B is not supported as it may not provide for inclusion. And then it has 1B further proposal. Is that the speaker may convene an urgent meeting if a special meeting was not requested in accordance with subsection 1 on a particular matter, but the speaker in his examination is of an opinion. It's a convening of meetings by the speaker, and they don't support our contention that it should be clearly stated as to who has the authority in the event of those presiding officers not calling a particular meeting. They say it can be, clarified in the rules of order of council. And then, almost there, colleagues, section 29 provides for different kinds of meetings. Currently, the Systems Act clarifies the types of meetings. And they're not defined, and And then let's say the definition could be sort of clearly being incorporated in the council's rules of order. Further, other not supported, I think new proposal to simplify naming this important review should be done. A time period. It's just one clause 23. Well, when should impact report should be concluded? And again, they've been supported. This has been drafted with emphasis around the MFMA. Number 61 of the revised objects of government. Okay, and then the others were not supported, and that deals with sort of little technical, corrections. Words must be removed from office as a councillor. Must be changed to may be removed from officer. And the word must in the original text of the Code of Conduct proposed this not supported though. Well, we suggest may, they didn't support that. And then number 19, item 16, the provision provides that each investigation, investigator, initiator is appointed regarding the conduct of investigations. This may not always be possible, and therefore it is proposed that an alternative is provided for. It is proposed that the provision is made in the code that additionally a person who can act as an initiator in the investigation must be appointed. It must also be clear that the Municipal Council must appoint a special committee to ex An express provision must be made as to what must be what constitute a special committee. It's proposed that 16.1 must be amended to read as follows. And then we give a new reading of it. And that is blah blah blah. Item 64B must be amended by adding the following words at the end of the provision by the MEC. This will ensure that the MEC can be assured that the appeal was received by the Minister making a finding on the appeal. So that is our sort of addition there. It was supported. And then lastly, it is not clear whether reference to the rules of natural justice means that listed actions or aspects thereof are subject to the promotion of Administrative Justice Act 2000. It is submitted that clarity must be provided in this regard. It is proposed that Schedule 7 of the bill is amended by the substitution of item 17.7 with the new paragraph 7. Our new paragraph that we suggested states that any investigation in terms of this item and any action by the MEC in terms of sub-item 6 must be in accordance with Section 3 of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act 2000, Act 3 of 2000. Now that proposal was agreed to, that would sort of basically just would require the substitution of the words natural justice to that of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act. So those are the long and short of our submissions. They were by far the most and more detailed from all the provinces, and as you will see on the documentation that we received, that there's a summary of the proposed amendments from the provincial legislature that I supported, and most of it was supported. Of course, one from the Western Cape, of course, 30 from the Western Cape, of course, 19 from the Free State, item 16 from the Western Cape, item 68 Western Cape, and the consequential amendments that we alerted them to were considered. And so, as you will see, colleagues, that not all of our proposed amendments were agreed to, but as we say, is that what you lose on the strings, you gain on the roundabouts, and the same happened to the other provinces. So having regard to those sort of sections and our submissions and what was considered, what was not considered, we need to still take a position whether we can be supportable. You can recall at our last meeting when we considered the mandate, we are supportable, provided that, you know, these sort of proposals that we have advanced are being taken into account. So with that, colleagues, the floor is open for brief comments, and then we can decide as to whether we can support the mandate, supportable or not. Thank you, Art. Right. In the absence of any, any comments, I just want to ask Advocate Master, if there's anything you would like to just to comment on, if any.
Chair, maybe just the following. I'm quite pleased, actually, that some of the very pertinent proposals that were made by this legislature have been accepted. I must, however, also say that some of the other legislatures didn't raise the very same issues that we raised, and I think the legislature should take deserved credit for that, for the kind of intellectual investment that it gave to come up with those suggestions, which eventually was supported. Having said that, when I am confronted with a bill and having to prepare to advise a committee, then I'm particularly driven and mindful, if you like, of the constitutionality or otherwise of provisions. That from the outset is where my inclination is, my inslag begin daar. So we are relatively down the line as far as this legislative process regarding this bill is concerned. And I must say that even the provisions or the proposals by this legislature which were not accepted or not supported across the road, in and of themselves are not that substantial or even substantive in respect of their constitutionality or otherwise. So from a legal perspective, and mindful where I come from in terms of my particular support to this committee, I have no comment to make as to the reasons for not supporting those provisions that were proposed. Like I said initially, I'm just pleased that those others were in fact supported. The provisions that were not supported won't, the absence of our proposal from the bill won't compromise or in any way constitutionally jeopardize the integrity of the bill. So without our proposals, it will not in any way, and this is my advice, it will not in any way compromise the integrity or the constitutionality of the bill going forward. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Advocate Master, and thank you for your guidance throughout the process. It is highly valued, and sort of enable us to chart this uncharted waters very, very safely and with caution, of course. So thank you, colleagues. If there's any other comments you'd like to make, because in the absence of any further comments, my view is also similar to that expressed by Advocate Master, is that substantively the elements of the proposals that were not accepted will not have such a fundamental sort of impact on the bill that would will deviate completely from our policy positions. So I'm of the view that given the context, you know, okay, before I turn, Honourable Father Vincent, I see your hand. Okay,
yes, thank you, Chair. And as you said, I think we must be grateful for the proposed amendments that did eventually receive support. And a number of our proposed amendments that were not supported, I can easily live with. For example, that, you know, the types of council meetings, etc., should be left to councils to decide in their rules of order. I don't think that is a deal breaker. I just want to comment on one or two. The first one is that paragraph numbered as 12. We have actually proposed that the number of councillors in office at the time be seen when it comes to the calculation of quorums, etc. And I'm sorry to see that amendment was not supported, and that the majority refers to the number of councillors determined by the MEC. Because, you know, we live in crazy times. We've just seen a situation where a number of seats in councils were left open for many, many months. And we're talking here almost 11 months. And that could result theoretically in a situation where the council might find it very difficult to achieve a majority of the councillors determined by the MEC. But I do not believe that is so drastic that you know, we can't let it go and say, but okay, we'll try again at a future occasion to see if we cannot convince some of the other provinces as or the NCOP committee, select committee, to think otherwise. But I'm really grateful for quite a number of the amendments that were indeed supported and where our input was taken on board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honourable Fenebis. Is anybody else comment? Okay, Johan, can you put that report on the screen, please? So colleagues, having regard for the input, I'm also of the view that you know, there's no reason for us not to support the bill, regardless of the elements that were not incorporated. And we'll be mindful of the comments that were provided, is that many of those comments that were not incorporated can, on a council level, be accommodated in the rules of order, and where those other elements can will be possibly be clarified in the revised or the amendments that's going to we propose with regard to this Assistance Act. So, we as a committee would then resolve that, you know, can you just enlarge a little? My eyesight is not.
Chairperson, I have tried to enlarge it. Do you want me to perhaps read it for you?
No, I'll read it. I'll try it. Good colleagues, that this committee. That's it.
Okay, there we go, Chair.
Then we're going to. I see Senior Procedural Officer Johan van Meulen would like to make a comment. Johan?
Chairperson, yes, sorry to jump in here. I just want to make a reminder there for Johan. I think he'll probably see it that he must just delete the word draft report, because once it's now adopted, it will be signed, it will not be a draft report.
Yeah.
That's just a small comment. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Johan. No, did
Then we have the report of the Standing Committee on Local Government on the Local Government Municipal Structures Amendment Bill, dated 13th of November 2020. And it reads as follows: the Standing Committee on Local Government, having considered the subject of the Local Government Municipal Structures Amendment Bill, B19D / hyphen 2018 NCOP, refer to it in accordance with the Standing Rule 217, comma, recommends that the House confers on the Western Cape delegation in the National Council of Provinces the authority to support the bill. Okay, so colleagues, is there any colleague in the House that do not agree that we support the bill as is presented with the amendments that were considered? Yeah? Okay, thank you. Honorable Ms. Lodi?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I support the bill with the amendments that are in.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Lodi. Is there a second of that? Is it a proposal? Okay, good. Supportable. Right, Jan, that sort of brackets in front of the final mandate stage. Shouldn't that be deleted?
No, Chairperson, that is how we report to indicate.
Okay.
Because we did the same with the negotiating mandate stage. That was just to indicate where we are in the process.
Okay, good. Thank you, Johan.
Thanks, Chair.
So, colleagues, that concludes a process that began many months. I see Advocate Master would like to comment quickly. Advocate Master?
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry to interrupt you, but maybe when you have finalized this part of the meeting, I would maybe just like to make a comment in respect of some other matter, if you don't mind, but related to this.
Yes, sir. I will do so. Thank you. Colleagues, with that, we have now concluded the process that started many months ago, and I'd like to thank you all in particular for staying the course and all the assistance that we have gotten along the way from our staff and from the legislature. Thank you so much. It's my first legislative passage, and I'm sure next time it will go much smoother. Thank you so much. Advocate Maasdorp, the floor is now yours.
Thanks so much, Chair. Chair, two things. I was very much in two minds whether I should address the committee now in this regard. And I plead with the chair to call me out of order if the chair so deems it that I am being out of order. I address you, chair, as an official of the provincial legislature. And in particular, with reference to the fact that there are only 3 out of a potential 6 members of this committee present in the committee. Member van der Westhuizen anticipated that he would be late for the meeting, and he quite properly gave advance notice of that arrival being potentially late, and the meeting could accommodate that. I notice, however, Chair, and I speak as an official, as well as a citizen of this province, officials, in particular Mr. Kutsi, with the support of Mr. Vermeulen, go through a thankless effort to set up meetings and all the logistics that go with that. Not only to set up meetings, but to ensure that we are correct, that documents that need to be perused and consumed are properly and timely sent out to members, because ultimately, Chair, members are lawmakers, and the quality of laws that we churn out depends on our degree of preparation and the degree of input, which can only come from having perused our documents. Mr. Kutsi goes through a thankless effort to set up this meeting. I notice that after 10:30, he again had to call members, where are you? And only then did members offer an apology for their absence, which is already late. I am alarmed that even Mr. Mseleku offered an apology for a meeting that would last 1 hour. Now, I am very mindful that life happens, circumstances are volatile, circumstances change unexpectedly. But Chair, if everyone should raise circumstances which will militate against their presence, we will have no meeting. Now, it can be said, Chair, that this is a once-off, and you know, we are very confident it won't happen again, where members just don't appear, where members just don't appear without apology or with apology. But you see, we are very much in the middle of a lawmaking process regarding a bill pertaining to municipal structure. We expect to be in a national local government election next week. Who knows how crucial this particular bill will be when it comes to those elections. The point I want to get to, Chair, and again I plead with you to call me out of order if you deem it correct. The point I want to get to, Chair, is this. Much as we expect officials to be committed to task, to do what they need to do timelessly, as Mr. Kutsi and Vermeulen did, in respect of this meeting, it is a small expectation to expect the same kind of commitment to task from those members who were absent without an apology and those who gave belated, extracted apologies. Something is falling through the cracks, Chair. We are a lawmaking institution primarily. When a bill as crucial, as primary, as footsore flux as this bill is concerned, is presented to this legislature for input, and we cannot commit to task to see it through for its final mandate, that is an alarm bell which we will probably only arrest when it is too late. Okay. I think that, and having read the chair's frustration earlier, having sensed the chair's frustration for the late start to the meeting, knowing that everyone else made an effort, an equal effort to set the meeting up and to be in the meeting, we should guard that institutions of this nature, like our legislature, doesn't get gradually eroded by a lack of ethos of commitment to task, a lack of diligence to our calling and our mandate as legislators. Much as I, as an official, as a resident, am entitled to be in this meeting. Similarly, the value, the depth of integrity and the cohesion of a bill can only improve if everyone equally makes the same effort with common decency like an apology, with common decency and considerateness like an apology, if everyone makes the effort to adhere to the meeting slots and to arrange their diaries accordingly, Chair. I'm an official. This institution needs to function efficiently and seamlessly, and we can do it only if everyone coheres. If everyone coheres. In this instance, it is a sad observation from my side that some members of this committee in this regard today on the 30th didn't deem it sufficiently important to be in this meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Advocate Master. I am hopefully one of those converted, and that did, you know, they did not need this preach, although it may be a good reminder to all of us, and I'm grateful that Advocate Master expressed these sentiments. And I don't need to be an advocate for those that are not present. But just two items. The first one is this is officially, in terms of the WCPP program, a so-called constituency week, with today being a constituency day and not one on which a meeting of this order should have been scheduled, unless unavoidable, as then happened the case to be. The second one is, unfortunately, some of these ones are determined by the National Council of Provinces and their schedules, and unfortunately the synchronization of our annual program and that of the National Council of Provinces seems sometimes to be a challenge, and I do just want us to take that into account. Also, that, and thirdly and lastly, the last parliamentary program that circulated was dated the 26th of October, as far as I could determine, and this meeting does not appear on that program. So I would like us just to keep that into mind, and also see to what extent we can address the serious concerns that Advocate Master quite rightly raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ms. Claudie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I agree with Member Andrikas, because of this is a constituency week one, two. The only snagged will be if they did indicate they're going to be the meeting and that didn't happen, and then it will be really unjustifiable of their actions. But if they didn't confirm and it's a constituency week, we need to bear in mind that maybe they already had their plans. And it's one of the things that I indicated when we started that this was not in the parliamentary program. And usually, if that is not the case, even our secretaries cannot say, "Hi, member, just a reminder, you do have the meeting today." So that was something that we would have, under normal circumstances, talked to ourselves to it, to address it, rather than handle it in a different way. But I just hope that we are not on the public arena for us to go this way, which it will be unfair to the members if the communication didn't come through clearly as we normally do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Claudie. Seku. Colleagues, no, I'm not going to rehash, you know, what was stated. Now, I think that I note your comments. I am in full agreement with the comments expressed by Advocate Maasdorp, and I don't want to further elaborate on that. And I think that we have come a long way with regard to this bill. And from my side, I'd like once again express my deepest and heartfelt gratitude to all those who were involved, the members who are not here, but who were part of the process as we went along dealing with this bill, our officials who, as Advocate Marcel so sort of eloquently put it, we have diligently passage our way through this particular process and assisted us logistically every step of the way. And of course the Advocate Master on whose wisdom and counsel we can always rely upon to remind us on the correct sort of constitutional legalistic path we need to traverse when dealing with bills. On that note, colleagues, I'd like to say thank you, and thank you. It is, you know, Honorable Bandavesta, myself, our first bill that we dealt with as members of this house, and it was certainly a learning curve for myself, and I'm sure with bills to come, I will be able to navigate through it much more confidently and much more efficiently. On that note, colleagues, Advocate Master, you are free to leave our meeting. We just have a set of minutes that we need to agree to. You're welcome to stay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Johan. We have, colleagues, we have one set of minutes of the 13th of October. It's there on the screen. Page one. Is that all three members who are present here today were present at that particular meeting as stated on page one. We move down to page two, Johan. Okay, any changes or amendments to page two? There we had the briefing by Honourable Fadivesesan, I recognize you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, just an interesting observation. I know some people don't like the term alderman or ombudsman, and they would like to see some more gender sensitivity, but I've been told that the history of these words do not necessarily refer to a gender issue. But then also, if it's spelled as alderman or elder lady, I'm not so sure if there should be a hyphen in the word, but perhaps the officials could inform us of what the practice is here at the provincial parliament in terms of our documentation.
Thank you. Can you move on to page three, please? Amendments or changes to page three. Last page, any amendments or any additions or changes to page four? In the absence of
Chair, I move that we support.
Okay, there's a mover that we adopt the minutes. Is there a seconder?
Thank you. I will second the legislation.
Thank you so much, sir. Colleagues, with that, we have come to the end of the meeting. My heartfelt appreciation to our members here in the House for allowing us to passage this particular piece of legislation through the process. Have a good day. Thanks a lot. And we will engage again with each other. To Johan Kutsia and Johan Pimera, thank you for your support, and may you also have a wonderful day. The meeting is adjourned, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to our Johans.
Thank you, guys.